Hi, and welcome back to the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. We reached back to last July for this conversation with Dr. Robert Bender, a physician at Broadlawns Hospital, who specializes in geriatrics and in memory. We had this conversation about memory, memory loss, six ways in which you can strengthen your memory, and we also asked the question, are we losing our memory, or is that hard drive just getting full? A conversation with Dr. Robert Bender from last July, coming up next here on the Business News Hour for a Monday afternoon.
Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Our guest is Dr. Robert Bender, a specialist in the science of geriatrics. Dr. Bender is one of three physicians at Broadlawns and 10 at Iowa Methodist who specialize in geriatrics. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Doctor. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
This is pretty interesting. You've been in practice for over 20 years in geriatrics. So did you foresee the future because of all these baby boomers aging, or was it a keen interest in the aging process?
We saw the coming demographic onslaught of numbers way back when I was just a resident. And we knew that we had to have people that took an interest in geriatrics, and I'm certainly no surgeon, so it was kind of a natural for a good number of us to go into, and I've been lucky enough to have lots of good support from my administrative colleagues down through the years.
Yeah, and the study of geriatrics, or the working in geriatrics, really it encompasses so very much, because you're not only dealing with the patient themselves, but often family members.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, and I suspect that because you deal with those different publics, that there takes maybe a different bedside manner?
Well, I don't know. I think for any physician, just making sure that everybody involved knows that the physician cares about the patient, about the family dynamics, and that our goal is that we get the best outcomes that we can and make things as low stress as possible. So it's pretty common throughout medicine.
Understand. All right. You know, there's lots of claims, doctor, about ways that one might reverse the aging process. Any truth to any of this stuff?
There really is. We certainly age. That seems to be a universal biological phenomenon, and I don't think we'll ever change that, although there are some basic scientists who feel that we will. Matter of fact, I have a son who's a geneticist, and he is adamant that aging is a disease. Of course, he may say that because he knows me well, but be that as it may, there's a lot of theories. But we can do things that can surprise us. I'm old enough to remember when Dr. Cooper, the father of aerobics, came out and said, you know, if we exercise, we can make our hearts, our vascular system, our pulmonary systems more efficient and healthier. Well, when I was a kid and that first came out, you never saw anybody outside jogging unless it was an athlete. Now you see people of all ages, and we've had people in their 90s running marathons. So that certainly has changed our insight. We know that physical exercise is really a fountain of youth. Since I was a kid and that came out, probably the biggest breakthrough changing the paradigm of how we look at things is we now know that our brains are plastic and that they are perhaps the most adaptable organ that we have. When I was a kid in medical school, we were taught you're born, there's a little pruning and modeling, but then by about the time you're three, you're about done.
You're done, yeah.
And if your mom or dad wants to know what you can do, take you to a good child psychiatrist, and they can pretty much say whether you should stay at home and work in the garage or go on to Harvard. Well, that's all completely thrown out the window. Our brains are remarkably adaptable, and we are only cutting the surface in finding out what we can do with that adaptability.
And when we talk about adaptability of the human brain, what are we talking about in order to strengthen that organ so that it works better?
Yes. Well, the brain, like every part of us, is flesh and blood, and so we want to have good blood vessels, and we want the brain to benefit from good nutrition. So the basic cellularity of the brain depends on what all the other cells in the body depend on. The difference is that the brain is far more complex than any other organ system. My friends that specialize in neurology sort of glibly say the rest of the body is just there to support the brain. Yes. And there's some truth to that. But every time we learn something new, our brain has changed. If we can avoid high stress situations for a long period of time, the brain cells do better. If we socialize, if we physically exercise, the brain does better and can build its potential. Again, when I was a kid in medical school, we were taught you don't get new nerve cells. Things don't change. You've got what you've got. Well, then we realized, wait a minute, every time we learn something new and really learn it, maybe even gain some mastery, the connections between the brain cells have changed so that we can perform a certain task. Now we also know that we get new brain cells every day. Those new brain cells in the memory centers don't survive, however, unless we are regularly physically exercising and learning new things.
So you must use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it is a good summary statement.
With regard to dementia, just to go off down that tack for a moment, is dementia, is it a hereditary thing or is it a roll of the dice? Do we know?
We're learning more and more, and I think it's important to note that dementia is a global term, like heart disease or a rash. There are many, many causes of heart disease and a rash. So dementia literally is translated from the Latin D to lose, mentia, one's self. So we look at the word dementia to lose one's ability to think, learn, and remember, and often our personalities can also change in the course of the dementia. Far and away, the most common cause of dementia is Alzheimer's disease. There are now known genetic risk factors. The defined genetic pathways to developing the pathology that we see with Alzheimer's disease are more rare than just the Alzheimer's disease that comes on with old age. The biggest risk factor for getting dementia is getting old. However, there are some forms of familial Alzheimer's disease that hit in younger age groups. And also, if a family has a lot of members who have gotten Alzheimer's disease in late age, there's also some familial risk there as well. So the genetics are being ferreted out. These geneticists, just like every other scientific field, they get better and better and smarter and smarter. And I am convinced that there'll come a day where we can map things out and alter risks. And, you know, we used to think that the genes that we have will inevitably be expressed. Not true. We are learning ways to modify the expression of genes. And it looks like we can modify the expression of the genes that lead to Alzheimer's disease, it looks like, by those six things that we mentioned.
Interesting.
A good diet, socialization, physical exercise, study, learning new things, stress management, and finally, meditation seems to be remarkably good for the brain.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. We're talking with Dr. Robert Bender, ladies and gentlemen. He has privileges at Broadlawns as well as Iowa Methodist, and he's a gerontologist. We're talking about the study of aging, and in particular now talking a bit about dementia. Are there early warning signs that folks can be attuned to?
Yes. Our brains in a normal setting probably do get a little slower as we get older, but they should not cause functional impairment. You shouldn't forget how to turn on the TV. You shouldn't forget how to use the microwave. You shouldn't lose skills. We probably do get slower, but we should not change functionally. Now, a lot of people do. By the time we look at the population throughout the industrialized world, at or over the age of 85, maybe as many as 50% of that demographic has some dementia. So it's common, and therefore it has been talked about as if it were normal. Well, it's not normal. It's disease. We do have some great studies on what we refer to as superagers. At autopsy, when we are able to look at these people's brains, there's no disease there. And what's really exciting is people that sort of live that brain wellness program that I described at autopsy, even when some of these individuals have brains with the criteria for Alzheimer's, often they have not shown any clinical evidence of Alzheimer's disease.
Really?
So that is really tantalizing and encouraging as we look at trying to tone down this wave, this onslaught of increased numbers of dementia patients.
Dr. Robert Bender is our guest. We're talking about aging and, in specific, dementia. So the concern that many people have, and we hear this all the time, and I suspect that you do it too. You walk into the kitchen with your car keys in your left hand, and you say, "Where did I put those car keys?"
Yeah, that's no problem.
Pretty common, isn't it?
Very common, very normal. People are thinking a lot of things at the same time.
Precisely. And people have asked me, well, what do you think does that then? Sometimes we're overtaxed.
Overtaxed. Multitasking is a myth. We only have 100% of attention. And so if you divide that up, you're giving to different arenas less than 100%.
Let's talk for a moment about the business aspect of brain health. I suspect that it might be, before I get there, that we were talking about preventative measures. So what age should you start this?
Well, I think we should start thinking about our brains from the very beginning. Yeah. Good nutrition, good socialization, low stress. And, you know, children are exposed to these risk factors, unfortunately, right from day one mm-hmm. in an adverse way. So right from the beginning, just like we want to make sure the kids get checked up, and that they get their immunizations, we want to make sure that they're not exposed to brain toxins. And we're doing better and better. Certainly, we need to pay attention to this as we grow into adulthood. One of the things I think our culture is going to finally say we just need to avoid these are those sports where the risk for head injury is high. I think we're just going to gradually go away from those.
I think you're probably right. No wonder soccer is catching on so
yes,
much, right?
Yes, exactly.
On the business side of this, working our brains and keeping them functional longer, I would suspect has an impact on business, as the trend seems to be people are working longer in
yes.
their jobs or past retirement age. Mm-hmm. Either they wish to or they have to. Brain training, will this help us control medical costs for one thing, and another part, maybe be able to work longer?
Yes, I think so. There's quite a bit of controversy over how best to train the brain, but those six areas that I mentioned are very well supported throughout the scientific literature. The games that are advertised on TV, like Lumosity and some of the others, I think they do have value. My own belief is that they must be taken in as a part of an overall program. Further, the type of brain training is getting more clearly defined. For example, there's an article just this month in Scientific American stating that it looks like the brain games for seniors that are most effective in improving cognition are the violent games.
Oh, right.
Yes.
The violent games.
The violent games. And,
great.
And that was a little disappointing to a lot of us. But and when they looked at these games, they demanded high levels of attention, the ability to move from one source of attention to another, and the people found them fun, and so they were engaged. So the goal is for people to take the positives and leave perhaps some of the negatives behind.
Got it.
But it's coming. We're getting better and better.
Dr. Robert Bender has been our guest. Thank you, Doctor, for coming in and doing this. This is
my pleasure.
Really, I think, very critical stuff for people to better understand and maybe get to work on. Six things.
Hopefully. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. All right, we've got to step aside. We've got the Wall Street Report. Let's see what happened today with the stock market. I can tell you, while we were watching the indices all day, it was up and down and up and down. It felt like a roller coaster. We'll catch the numbers when we come back.
I want to see you let a good thing slip away.